We find our Lord very clearly in this gospel today professing the fact that he is the Son of God. The fact that he is in fact God. This is why he makes that, you know, that statement at the end of the gospel, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am." And the Jews clearly understood what our Lord was making reference. In fact, it's almost somewhat surprising that he got this far, because even early on in the passage, he had already attributed himself, you know, that God was his Father. And usually that was enough to get the Jews to pick up the stones and throw them at him. There's no mincing of words, although sometimes in other places in the Gospels when our Lord seems to be questioned on this issue, he doesn't give a clear answer. And it may be because he has, in fact, at other points, given that answer. Our Lord, you know, in our life and throughout our lives, you know, we may have our own questions sometimes. And, you know, it's one thing to ask the Lord for something as a child, but it's not right to put God to the test. I often tell, many times I've mentioned it, you know, it's like you can't treat God like a dog. You know, you come into a different, you know, difficult situation, and you know, you want to say, "Well, my faith is shaken. I'm not sure if God exists anymore." He's like, "That's nonsense. Do you have a mom and a dad? You come into hard times, you all of a sudden doubt the existence of mom and dad. And we go up to your father sometime and try that. Dad, if you're my father, you know, jump through my hoop. Do what I want." Your dad will show you without necessarily rendering what you want and giving you what you want. He'll show you he's your dad, and you'll know he's your dad. Your mother wouldn't tolerate that. You know, sometimes in our relationship with God, we don't treat him like we would just even an ordinary person, in the sense of, you know, a personal relationship. Especially with people that we have authority and that we would have a natural sense of respect for. You know, mom and dad. You know, authority. It's one of the things that, you know, God in the, you know, different places in Scripture, he, you know, if I'm a master, where's the fear that is due to a master? You know, if I'm a Lord, where's the respect or the reverence due to a Lord? He is a real person that we can cultivate a real relationship with. And the only way that we do that, really, it begins with prayer. I have to take time to cultivate this relationship with God through prayer. And it's just like any type of, well, relationship. Admittedly, I'm making some comparisons here. Obviously, God is way above any other, you know, it's the relationship to have. More important than any other relationship. In fact, if relationships of any kind go awry, if they're inordinate, if you want to call it that, it's because we don't have a right relationship with God. Because if we have a right relationship with God, well, then all our other relationships will fall into place, and they will be the way they ought to be, because God's first. God has to be first in our life. And constantly being aware, you know, if you're not sure, like, what to do in a particular relationship with something, whether to tolerate something or not tolerate something, ponder on the cross of our Lord. It may seem like a strange response, but then your answers oftentimes are right there on whether you should do something or not. How do you justify crucifying Jesus Christ? And contemplating that, oftentimes in a very kind, compassionate way, we may be able to wake someone up and say, you know, this is why you ought not to do this, or this is why we should do something. Because I have my eyes on the cross of our Lord. And I realize, you know, we talk about the covenant, you know, in the first reading, and we're approaching another covenant. You know, this is what we're celebrating. During this Lenten season, we are coming to a renewal of, or I wanted to say the celebration of the covenant, the last covenant that God's going to make with mankind. Never to be another one. Covenant is like getting married. There is a bond, an unbreakable bond. And it lasts, it endures beyond marriage, doesn't it? Because it's not, you know, at baptism, we don't say, you know, until death. There is no until death do we part. It's now and forever. Even religious, when we profess our consecration, there's no words, until death do we part. It's forever. It carries itself into eternity, like baptism. It's forever. It's one of the reasons, you know, when we read in the Old Testament, and this is true really for all the covenants, God's covenants are everlasting covenants. If we're faithful to them, we know God is faithful. If it seems God has broken the covenant, it's not because God's broken the covenant, it's because we broke the covenant. We've been unfaithful. In scriptures, you know, Hosea, you know, it plays on that, but I mean, God does in various places throughout scripture. Hosea, almost the whole book, harps on this fact. You know, when we're unfaithful, it's like adultery. That's what the infidelity is like. And I use the word "like" because it's worse, because it's not a bond that ends. It's a bond that's enduring, that never ends. And yet, if we're faithful, God will be faithful. If we come back, this is the beauty of it. If we come back and want to be faithful, God wants to take us back. This Lenten season is a beautiful time for us to examine our relationship with God, recognizing and putting ourselves in His presence, recognizing who He is and who we are. Today, God, our Lord Jesus Christ, manifests to us that He is God. And without Him, we have nothing. And who we are, He tells one saint or another. And it's actually one of the secrets of sanctity, bearing in mind who God is and who we are. We are nothing. Next time you're suffering and complaining, you can remind me. You know, try to be gentle and compassionate when you remind me if I'm having a hard time. But to remind ourselves, you know, what is nothing complaining about? Because if we're nothing, then why am I complaining? It's something that we have to really ponder on. What would I be without God? And if I'm suffering, do we really appreciate, this is why we mustn't lose sight of the finish line, and please don't run out of here and say, all right, Lord, come on, hammer me. But the cross is a gift of our Lord. And if we fully appreciate its suffering, you know, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, her greatest sorrow is that when she died, and you know, after this life, she wouldn't be able to suffer anything for God anymore. That's the saints. Saint John of the Cross, that's how he died, because he always sought ways to suffer. He chose a place, he went to a friary where the father guardian wouldn't like him, and he was sick and he needed health care, and the father guardian's like, wouldn't help him. He died because of the negligence and the really grave neglect of the father guardian. And Saint John won a soul, because that father guardian on his deathbed apologized, recognized his fault, and asked the pardon of St. John of the Cross. The cross is a sign that God loves us. And as we share in that cross in this life, and we have to constantly remind ourselves of this, including Father John Joseph, we have to constantly remind ourselves that as we share in the sufferings of Christ in this life, then we will share in his glory in the next. And there's a proportion there. The more we share in Christ's sufferings in this life, the more we will share in his glory in the next. The less we share in that suffering, the less we'll share in his glory in the next. There's a direct proportion. I'm not going to say it's necessarily even, but there's a proportion. So he tells various saints, the best one is to look at the Blessed Mother. No one ever shared in the sufferings of Christ more intimately, more deeply than his most heavenly Mother. And this is one of the reasons, you know, you say, how do we know how great is her glory? You know, just the little glimpses that we have of it. You can take the assumption. You know, she above all others has already gotten herself body and soul into heaven because of her intimate sharing in Christ's sufferings. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer as we continue our Lenten journey, asking him to deepen our relationship with him, to appreciate his gifts, those that we like and those that we find difficult, the cross, that we might receive both good and evil from the Lord, those crosses which are our sanctification, and one day, if we accept them and use them well, even our glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.